first I'm like,
yeah, no. Yeah, like, yeah, like hard pass. And then the more I thought about it, I thought I was like, well, I'm going to have some free time. I'm going to have some extra time. And this could be a way to branch out and use it into the other companies I have so it's not just CrossFit.
I'm Patrick Chandler.
I'm TJ Kiblin.
I'm Nick Reyes. And you're listening to the Sweat Daily Podcast.
All right, so we're here recording another Sweat Daily Podcast. We have a fun guest today. We have, gosh, I'm going to probably get this wrong. Jacob, how many times have you been to the CrossFit Games?
I say 4.5.
4.5. Okay, we'll count 4.5 times.
2020 didn't count.
CrossFit and a half. Games athletes.
Yeah, the half. The 2020 year. We didn't. Okay. I didn't qualify top five, so I finished my CrossFit Games in my gym. So I call that half year.
I like it.
Yeah. Half year.
Cool. 4.5.
We'll take it. Yeah. But that's kind of pigeonholing you a little bit. So I'm going to let you talk about all the stuff that you are involved with, and we're going to kind of see what adventure we take today. We got Nick joining us.
What's going on, guys?
Usually what we like to do, when we have a first-time guest on, which, first of all, thank you for joining us, would be kind of let you tell your fitness journey a little bit. I don't know how long we have today because I think you have a pretty long journey.
It's pretty short. I've told it enough times that I can give the succinct version or I could draw this out for an hour.
Yeah, let's see. So
there I was.
Set the clock. Tell us a little bit about your journey then.
Yeah, let's not do fitness journey. Let's actually just back it up and just do CrossFit, right? It makes it a lot easier. And that's specifically Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So I was going to college in Fayette, which is right north of Columbia, down I-70.
CMU, right?
Yes, Central Methodist University, good old Central Methodist in the middle of nowhere, playing football. I was god-awful at it. I sat the bench for 4 years, but man, my coach was like, he's a special guy. He plays special teams. He literally told me that, and I was like, I hate myself. I had an internship at Fort Leavenworth, which is in Leavenworth, as a ORSA. I'm my bachelor's in mathematics. And so I was working for the Army as a DOD civilian. And I remember I was working, and I had 1 year left. So I did an internship going into my senior year of college. So I had 1 year left of football left. So I was in my lunch break or after work during the internship. I was out there training, running sprints, lifting weights. And the people I work with knew that. I mean, to clarify, I'm a math guy in a math field. So you can imagine the people I was working next to me were probably not. Fitness wasn't like super high on their list of priorities. And so I stood out like a sore thumb. And so one of the guys I was working with at Green Center, Major Craig, was like, hey, you value fitness. Like, you should come to this thing with me. And I was like, okay, what's this thing called? He goes, it's called CrossFit. And the first thing I said, I was like, sounds like a cult. Like, legitimately, like, what is CrossFit? You're like, I'm thinking like, it's gonna be like a Zumba class or whatever. And he's like, no, it's not a cult. You should show up. It's like a fun fitness class. You'd be good at it. And I said, okay. I said, sure. Sounds good. Like, he's a good guy. I was like, yeah, sounds good. I can do that. And I should have actually asked what time and where first before I agreed to do this. He's like, well, it's tomorrow at 5 a.m. And I'm like, God. Oh, like 5 a.m. Like,
checks watch.
What the crap? So I showed up 5 a.m. The difference was comparatively to, this was at Iron Major CrossFit. This was back when Army installation could still have CrossFit affiliates on installations. Mm-hmm. Now I think they've reneged on that for some unknown reason. Well, I think it was the Army that actually did it. And Iron Major CrossFit on post at the time, and currently now that it's not affiliated, are just really different compared to affiliates you walk in here. Like, if I'm a member that walks into Kansas City Athletic Club, I'm probably going to be greeted at the front desk right here in the foyer. I'm probably going to be told, hey, have you done CrossFit before? We have Epic, we have this. You give me options, and if I haven't done it, you'll put me into an on-ramp class and make sure I'm legal and then shove me into a class. Iron Major was so not that way. It was ran by a bunch of dudes that were all green suiters, active duty, and a couple of us civilians were there. And you just walked in, they shoved you into class. And they didn't tell you how it worked. They didn't explain anything to you. There was no movement explanation, no movement demo. And I didn't even know it was for time. So I showed up, I pull up. And it was in a building. They called it the bubble. It was actually, did you ever take your level one there?
No.
Nick? Okay.
No.
So it was called a bubble because it was actually a prefab, just fabric building that was used to house vehicles over in Afghanistan during the winters or summers. Mm-hmm. And just a tarp building, huge tarp building. And I pull up, walk into class, and they're just like, yeah, today, guys, we're going to do. And it was like rowing and toes the bar. I think it was like a triplet, but I don't remember what the other movement was. we're going to do some rowing and toes the bar and whatever else. And didn't explain to me that, like, I'm trying to go as fast as possible because I come from a sport with football. Like, we're going to do quality reps. Like, I've never done anything for time other than sprint.
Right.
And I just remember getting yelled at during rowing, like, row harder. And then, like, go do your toes the bar. I can't even touch my toes to the bar. And I remember getting done with it, and I'm just mind blown. I don't even know what's going on. No one's explained this to me. Luckily, a gentleman pulled me aside who actually owns an affiliate up in Leavenworth still, now that he was active duty then, now he's retired. He owns CrossFit Unconquered up in Leavenworth. And Dave Hudson, and he pulls me aside, he goes, "Hey, I think you'd be really good at this." And I remember the first thing I said is, "Really good at what? Like toes the bar and rowing? Like, I don't even know what we're doing here." And he was like, he tried to explain it to me, and it was just like well over my head. And he goes, "Do me a favor." He goes, "On your lunch break today, when you're doing nothing because you're a DOD civilian," he goes, "and it doesn't matter what you do." He's like, go on the computer and research the CrossFit Games." And I'm like, "Okay, bro, like, whatever." So during my lunch break, I was like, well, he did ask me. I should do it. And I typed it in, and I remember the first video I watched, I believe, was Froning winning the rope climb workout at the games. Like, I just typed in CrossFit Games, like, the first video that popped up. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it. And I was amazed that I was like, and so I did some more research. And I realized, like, there are people watching this. Again, it's not rowing and toes the bar, thank God. Like, they're doing other movements. And then I did some more research and realized, like, this is a sport and you can compete in it. And it's not just like a weird class cult kind of thing. It is still a cult. But, like, it wasn't what I thought it was. And from there on out, I remember getting hooked and continuing to go at 5 in the morning and then realizing that you could go at later times.
You can do that. You don't have to get up exclusively at 5 a.m.
CrossFit isn't exclusively at 5
a.m. I think our 5 a.m. class here would probably disagree. I think.
Yeah, yeah, it is exclusive to 5 a.m.
I feel like every CrossFit gym, including most of them, including ours, no, mine too, is like the 5 a.m. group is tight-knit. Yep. And it's like if you come into it, you're like, nah, bro, you're the 6:30 group. Like, get out of here.
It's like a badge of honor to be accepted.
Yeah. Someone new wants to come to the 5 a.m. class and you're like, ooh.
Have you signed the contract to join us yet? And our expectations. But I remember like never looking back. And from that point forward, I was sold on. Because at the time, it's like when you get done with college sports or anything in your life, when you're coming near the end of something, you try to fill that void with something else. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to not have collegiate football now, which is a huge ask of time. What am I going to fill this with? And I have a competitive nature, and I'm not taking my competitive nature into the workspace and being like, oh, I staple so much faster than you. Like, that's just like not healthy. And I'm like, I need something to fill this with. And then finding CrossFit was like, and this is it. And this is right. What I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a common thing. People, you know, that find their way to CrossFit gyms and boxes all over the place are like, yeah, I just love the atmosphere. I love the fact that, you know, I played football, I played basketball, and now I can, you know, get this competitiveness out in somewhat of a healthy manner.
It was you after baseball, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Except my story I kind of told a couple of weeks ago was like, you know, I played college baseball, mm-hmm. kind of the same thing. It's like we're always doing quality. You know, mm-hmm. when you're lifting, it's not for time.
Sure.
Baseball, you don't do anything for time. Those games last for like 5 hours. So it's like, wait, we have a clock? What's going on? But yeah, like my first workout was like front squats and burpees, bar facing burpees or something like that. And I'm like,
oh, yours is worse than mine.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm an athlete. I can do this. And like, I didn't come back for like 3 weeks. So I was like, I'm so sore. Like I can't actually move, but I eventually made it back. So it just draws you in that competitive spirit. And,
well, I think it's because you ask yourself, like when you're done playing high school sports or collegiate sports or wherever you ended up at, junior high sports or professional, you end up doing something. Usually it's intramural. And the beauty of intramural is, one, it exists. That's awesome. And the beauty of intramural is that you find a small, close-knit community. Like, I have a small flag football team I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of CrossFit is, like, you have a community around the world. It's not just like, oh, I know that 8 guys I play flag football with or pick up basketball every month. Like, it's a community of where, like, I can roll into a CrossFit gym in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. and I still know people and I have a connection. We have something to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Like, there's that language where it's
are
like,
are you doing Murph in a couple weeks? Man, yeah. I'm not doing it. That's going to be awful. You know, like, whatever the case is, we have a similar shared communication line or language.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You drop into any box and you talk about one of the girls' workouts, you know, Fran is the one that everybody always goes, oh, what's your Fran time? And that's not like, that's such a weird thing to ask just somebody that has no idea what CrossFit is. Be like, what's your Fran time? And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. So,
but I think this is it's a cool transition because you had mentioned, like, you know, your football career coming to an end and that's how you got into CrossFit. Well, now you know, CrossFit career is
CrossFit's done.
Coming to an end. You'll never do it again. You're doing something different now.
Yeah, so we kind of made the decision. 2020 was a hard year, only because, and this is going to sound super like privileged, but it was a hard year for competing in CrossFit. Not only that, but a lot of things in people's lives. But competing in CrossFit was difficult only because we didn't know if we were going to have the season, what we were training for. So it's just hard to be like, hey, I need you to stay in shape. For what? Well, I don't know, in case the games happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just really difficult. And that was kind of a bummer. And then knowing that people try to be optimistic, like, oh, 2021 is going to be different. Everything's going to be open. Well, unless you're in Florida, Kansas, Texas, or states like ours, it's not going to happen. Like Nevada, it's just not going to happen. You're going to have a hard press to still have a full games this year. And they're already seeing a lot of semifinals get canceled. So I made the decision late in 2020 that I didn't think it was smart to continue on, partially because I had other opportunities and companies I was running that were going to require more of my time to be successful. And then I thought to myself, like from a monetary perspective, you think to yourself, what is my time value and where is it most well spent? Like, yeah, I could spend 5 hours or 6 hours a day still working out in a gym and doing this, and I know what that return will give me. But if I take that 4 hours out of that five and still spend an hour and a half or 2 hours still working out because it's a brand I've created. I have to continue. I'm not going to get fat and slobby because I have a brand I have to uphold. But then take that 4 to 5 hours and sink that into something different, whether it's running companies or spent at home or finding property, whatever the case may be, it's going to be more well spent monetarily in the long run. Right. And then the other big thing was like, I never wanted to be forced out of a sport. I never wanted to be like, oh, I broke my leg, I've got to do something different. I wanted to make my own plans, set things in motion, and then quit at my own time, and then do something else at the time.
Right.
Did you get pulled back and forth on this a fair amount? Or was this like you woke up one morning, you're like, I'm done?
I kind of didn't really think about it. And then when I got done with the games, I was kind of like, okay, well, getting ready for the next season. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't even know if I want. And sometimes the passion's not there. If you're just not passionate about it, I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to work out 5 hours a day. I'm not enjoying this. Like, do something you love. And yeah, I think I woke up and I was just like, I'm done. And I remember talking to my wife about it, but my wife's known me. She hasn't known a time in my life when I wasn't competing at CrossFit. And so for her, it was like a whole wrench in a plan. Like, I've only known that you're not going to be in the house at this time. Like, this is my time.
Oh, wait. We actually have to be, like, together now.
We have to like each other? wait. Shouldn't you be working out? Why are you in the house? And so I think that was really weird for her. I was okay with it, but it was weird for her knowing that, oh, okay, well, we're not going to the games. We're not going to regionals. You're not training all this time. Now, that time has been filled with other things that are keeping me more busy now than ever. But it was just different, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely different. Tell us a little bit about that adjustment. Like you kind of did a little bit as far as you found other things to fill that 4 to 5 hours of workout time. But, you know, how has that been in the transition? Because I'm assuming it's not just seamless where you're like, oh, I got it figured out. Now I'm good. What was that like?
It wasn't too hard. Like, I was already at the time, like when I finally decided I'm not going to continue to do this, I cut back workout time pretty quickly. I actually talked to, the beauty of our sport is I can pull aside anyone in our sport and ask questions, and they are more than welcome to answer. So I called up friends of mine, I called up Marcus Philly, and I was like, Marcus, you are one of the guys that I respected in how you retired. It wasn't like you were being forced out. You made a calculated decision. I was like, can you walk me through your mindset for that and why you did it and how you did it and what you would change? And he was like, well, he's like, I made a good decision. I'm really glad I did it. He goes, one thing I would change going back, he's like, is I was so used to working out and still doing 4 or 5 hours a day or 2 sessions a day that when I decided to retire, I was still doing that amount of time working out. Hmm. He's like, and I don't know why. He's like, my body was just used to it. So I just kept doing it. He's like, and then I realized months later, like, why am I doing this? I'm not doing it for any reason. And so hearing that from him was like, okay, if I'm going to make a conscious decision, I need to make an immediate switch from, I'm not doing 2 sessions a day in CrossFit. I'm going to fill it with this. I mean, it might be something different fitness wise, but it's not going to be CrossFit. And so it wasn't too hard of a switch. And then I just got pulled into meetings after meetings and I was okay with that. And in the years past, it was, let's shove all my meetings on a Thursday or on a rest day. And now it's like the mornings are always filled with demos or meetings or whatever the case may be. And then I'll find some time to come here and box or whatever the case may be.
Cool.
So very intentful, which I like. I think anyone going through any type of transition could absolutely take away from that? Two things, actually. One, being super intentful with what you transition that time into. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll fill it with either old habits or maybe unhealthy habits.
Yeah. Netflix and chill.
And then I also think it's interesting that you reached out to someone who had done it. I think that's super, super important, and probably not enough people ask for help in general in life, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things growing up that my parents instilled in me is I have no problem. It's hard for me to admit I'm wrong, but I have no problem asking for help. I have no problem saying, I don't know that, but I can get back to you. Or, hey, Pat, he's an expert in this. I'm just going to ask him what his opinion is. And so that's always been a strong suit of mine. I have done that throughout my CrossFit career many times. I think when I crit my, I was a full-time project manager for a web development company, worked from home, but it was out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I remember when I made the decision of, I think I'm going to quit my full-time job and do this CrossFit thing full-time,
which I only did for a year, then I quit CrossFit. Stick to it, Jacob, stick to it.
But I remember thinking to myself, I think I want to quit my full-time job, and I think I want to focus on this CrossFit thing and the opportunities I had there. I still had companies in the space to work. And so I called up Cole Sager, who had recently quit his, or recently had quit his job at the time, and Britt Fikowski. And I was like, hey, I just want to ask your opinion on how you did this, why you did this, and what you're doing now, and what mistakes you made. And I remember having just honest conversations with them, and that was just beautiful to me to be able to call up guys that I compete with. We're competing over money and space and time on the podium, but at the same time, it's like they're willing to give me advice to be like, oh, this is what I did wrong.
That's such an awesome reflection of the actual CrossFit community as a whole. You know, you tend to think of, I think most of us who, you know, have not been to the games think of CrossFit community as just your local gym, but the reality is that it really does expand outside of that. So that's pretty good. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So absolutely. One thing that I kind of thought too is you've basically said, you know, you got a lot of balls in the air, a lot of different projects, companies, mm-hmm. things like that. Tell us a little bit about that. And then also how, you know, basically that same principle of being able to ask for help has helped you grow in so many different directions.
Yeah. So one big thing I've had to do is because of the time constraint, I've had to pull in, well, not had to, this is a good thing, is I've had to learn. One thing I'm not good at is I'm not good at letting people take control of situations. Like the who I am, the Enneagram I am, I want to control a situation, run the room when I walk in, and I want to lead. But one thing I've had to learn is I've had to learn to give it to other people and to say, I'm going to trust you to do this, and to step aside and say, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. You know, even though maybe I'm your boss or maybe I'm not, but I'm going to let you do this. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to, I say delegate, but it's more than just delegate. It's more like give the reins to somebody else. So delegation implies that I'm looking at your work. But I've luckily been blessed to have a really good team in Kansas City, you know, Vince and Jill and the people that run my gym and just the coaches that surround them that I can trust with. Hey, they're going to run this nutrition company. They're going to run my program. They're going to program for me. They're going to help me do this. And just being able to give it to them and know that they're going to get the job done probably better than me, but it's just hard for me to give it to them. That's
right.
The hard part.
Right. It's like they're your little babies.
Yeah, yeah, it's my baby. Yeah. Or we're starting it together and I have to step aside and be like, hey, I have to get this done. I'm going to need to lean on you more. Which is difficult for some people, especially for me.
Yeah. Yeah. How big is communication in your daily life?
If you don't communicate to me well, I usually don't really like spending time with you. In a really nice way of saying it, I like to be overly communicated with. If you called me every day and told me that something simple, I would be totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. At some point I'd say you're wasting my time. But like, a good story. Like we have, speaking of Kansas City, we've done a lot of construction on our property. So we have a general contractor that comes and does our work. The gentleman does not good at communication. And from that point forward, I knew I can't work with this guy. Like, he doesn't know how to communicate. And it's the same for everything. Like, I don't even care if you overly communicate and it gets annoying. I'd rather have that than not communicating to me at all. And so I found that, I mean, like, for some of the companies, like one of the companies I run with Ignite, I call the guys I work with every day just to talk to me. Even if it's just about bull crap. Even if we're just talking about, I don't know, how's your pregnancy going? You're pregnant again, or whatever the case may be. Just basic things, just to talk to them. Because to me, that's important just to know. Because, you know, in this day and age, it's a blessing and a curse, but not a lot of us work in person.
Right.
We don't, like, you got, luckily for this gym, brick and mortar, you guys come in every day and get to hang out and, or get sick of each other. But, like, for a lot of us, like, we don't have that ability to work virtually and see each other every day. So me calling them is just my way of saying, hey, I'm acknowledging you. I love working with you. Let's hang out across phone, but let's get some work done.
Right, right. And yeah, that's incredibly important. Nick and I have talked about this with TJ as well, how you know, important it is just to be able to talk to one another, whether you're talking about actual, you know, business or anything like that. Usually things come up where you're just kind of like, oh yeah, we weren't really talking about things, you know, business wise. And then all of a sudden we have this idea and we're like, you know what? We should have Jacob on the podcast. And then here we are. So
here we are. Well, but it's also sad, like in today's age, like we have the ability to communicate like a ridiculous amount and a ridiculous amount of ways. But it's impressive to me how unfortunate we are teaching people how to communicate correctly with people. Like, you know, like a good story. It's not a bad story, but like I have a 15-year-old girl I train with. Now, I remember the first time that she answered a phone call when I called her and I was like, what? Like, who taught you how to answer a phone? But that's just who they are. But I think it just comes down to like this. I like working with people who know how to communicate well and can do it concise and are overly communicators to me is what I appreciate at least.
Right. Yep. How did she answer the phone? That's my question.
Same. I was like, what? I think it was like, what? I was like, what? Like, is this a bad time?
you're just thrown off guard.
Yeah, well, you know, like when you were raised, like I remember when I was younger, like you never answered the phone in your house. But when your mom or dad taught you, whoever your parents are, taught you how to correctly answer the phone, have phone etiquette, which is not a thing anymore.
It's not.
Yeah, it's like, this is the Hepner house. This is Jacob speaking. How can I help you? Like, that doesn't exist anymore.
I legitimately remember practice. Like,
yeah, exactly.
My dad would go out on his cell phone.
I mean, if I answered the phone and I said, hey, this is Jake, or like, what's going on? Or how can I help you? Like, my mom would be like, they don't know who they're talking to. Who are you? Like, they don't know this information.
Even if it was just a simple hello, you're like, that's not enough. Like, they don't know who they've reached. And it's like, caller ID has just ruined this all. Yeah. You know, back in the 90s, you had no idea who was calling. What's up, Sweat Daily Faithful? Patrick here, asking you to support the people that support our show. Are you sweating about how to best finance your new home? Give Peter Rudd, the helpful home loan guy, a call. Whether you are looking to purchase or refinance a home, Peter will put together a personalized loan solution for you that fits your needs and coach you through the loan process step by step. Trust me, guys, my wife and I are working with Peter right now, and the home buying process could not be easier. He's that good. Call Peter today at 816-508-2233. That's 816-508-2233. Or visit him online at nasb.com/p-rudd. NMLS 1791838. NASB is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC. Let's talk a little bit about why you're actually here at Kansas Athletic Club. What are you up to now, competitive wise?
Yeah, so obviously, to like further on conversation, we're done with football. I found CrossFit to fill that void. We're done competing in CrossFit. It doesn't mean I'm not doing CrossFit. Like, I have a 15-year-old girl that's going to go to the games this year, so I'm getting whooped up on her, by her every night at 4 o'clock, like a rented mule. She just beats me, and I'm just whatever at this point. But the idea is, well, I got to fill that. I want to do something competitive to a degree. And so we found two things. Well, one, I decided to do, and two, just follow my, one of them just fell in my lap. And the first one was, I've always enjoyed firearms and shooting in a safe atmosphere. And so they've created a sport where it's a mix of fitness and firearms together and just competing. And so, and one of Nick's business associates that he has does it too. And so found that, and I'm gonna compete in that in May for the first one. Then we're going to do some throughout the year, throughout the continent of the United States. And then I was actually in Hawaii like a month ago, and I got a call. I actually got a weird direct message. I respond to all weird direct messages because you never know what they're going to say.
I'm testing that.
Oh, no, I do. That's one. So I made I think it was 2020. I made myself one of the things I want to do different 2020 or 2019. I can't remember what it was. I carried it over since then. Was like, I want to respond to as many people as I can so that they know that I'm a human being and not just someone who just has an account that doesn't want to respond to you. I essentially create a connection with people. And so along with that, sometimes I don't respond to all messages. You know, like if you're like, hey, can you send me some of your underwear and I'll pay you for it? I don't respond to those messages. those don't happen. And I get those all the time for some reason. But anyways, one of them was like, hey, Jake, I got this really cool opportunity. Give me a call and give me a phone number. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. Well, I messaged him. I messaged him back on a phone call. It was Josh Bridges' manager. And he's like, hey, I got this opportunity. You're a kind of guy that likes to do some random stuff. He goes, I'm not sure if you're done competing yet. At this point, I had announced it. He's like, I'm not sure if you're done competing yet because this is going to be a bit of work to do with CrossFit. Like he's like, I'm not sure you can do both. He's like, but we were looking for someone to box Bridges in September as an undercard fight on the title card for Eddie and Hathor. And at first I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, like, like hard pass. And then the more I thought about it, I thought I was like, well, I'm going to have some free time. I'm going to have some extra time. And this could be a way to branch out and use it in the other companies I have. So it's not just CrossFit. And then they were also paying quite a bit of money too. So I was like, well, I can't turn that down. And so I remember actually taking that conversation, walking into the hotel with my wife and being like, hey, they're asking me to box Bridges. And she goes, no. She's like, absolutely not. I don't want your pretty face to get messed up. At that point, I was like, oh, I have a pretty face. First time you ever said that to me. Yeah, yeah. Taking that as a W. And she's like, no, I don't want your pretty face to get messed up. And I was like, yeah, but they're going to pay me this. She goes, oh, yeah, yeah. So you can get, so when is it going to be? Like, we're going to need my tickets. And I'm like, well, so, and I know your price point. Like, I know how much I'm worth dead to you now, right?
This pretty face is worth this
yeah,
much.
This, yeah, I can put a tag on it now. But I think just the overall, despite the money and all that, I think the opportunity to do something outside of the sport. I mean, if you look at it, like, people always ask me, we're actually doing a YouTube video on that, like, tomorrow, I think. People always ask me why. Like, why are you doing this? It seems different, which it is. But I think if you look at CrossFit itself, and I think the CrossFit community spends so much time inside their four walls and doesn't take their fitness outside the gym. And so I've always encouraged, because I've worked and done so many races in the OCR community, and I see the benefit of both sides. Like a lot of the OCR community doesn't get inside of a gym and needs to go to a CrossFit gym and get a little stronger, a little better at running. But the CrossFit community stays inside their four walls and doesn't take their fitness outside the gym. If you look at it, the CrossFit methodology, if you look at the CrossFit pyramid, the top of it is sport. And people always tend to mess that up and think, oh, well, that's the CrossFit Games. No, it's not the CrossFit Games. That's actually taking your CrossFit, what you learn, your Fran time, your Murph time, you know, your squat, your deadlift, taking it outside and applying it. Now, that could just be being able to carry your groceries or play with your kids and not blow your back up. But that could also be being a weekend warrior, going to a Spartan race, you know, doing these things, taking it outside the gym and doing things. And people, for some reason, don't do that, and I don't understand why. But I also think it trickles down from the elites in the sport. Like, for some unknown reason, and I hope it changes, is you don't see very many CrossFit athletes. You see some females do it, but not a whole lot of males that will go out of their way and do different sports. And I think it's because they're so used to being elite in their sport that they don't want to go to a different sport and be looked at as an amateur.
Right.
There's pride there. Well, I lost my pride when I get beat by a 15-year-old girl every night. So, like, I don't have that anymore. But the idea is, like, you should take your fitness and apply it to something different. And that could be anything. And for me, it's going to be like, well, let's try boxing. And so quickly what we learned is my conditioning doesn't apply to boxing. It
is a little bit. I've actually heard otherwise. Yabit says that you're a machine and just keep going. And
pretty
and
he's sure you're exhausted. His boss. So he's like going to agree with whatever you say. He's going to take all the... Well, I remember like getting in here and it wasn't at this gym. It was at a different gym before I came here. And I was asked... You know, like I was asked by somebody, I can't remember who it was. Someone asked me and said, hey, do you think you're in shape? And I was like, well, yeah. Yes, I do know who I am. And then the person be like, yeah, you're going to find out. Like, it doesn't apply here, which is true. It's what I found out is like, you know, if I was living a sedentary lifestyle and not doing CrossFit, yes, it would be worse. But like my conditioning in CrossFit hasn't directly correlated over to boxing, but I will say it has gone the opposite direction. Like, I feel much better doing intervals back in CrossFit because of the intervals I'm doing here in the gym boxing. But gotcha. It's just a whole different ballgame of conditioning.
Right. And I almost think that, you know, what you said about, you know, CrossFit can be applied to almost any type of fitness track, you know, whether you're doing your Orange Theory, whether you're doing your title boxing, like that should be used to help promote, you know, whatever you want to do outside of those four walls.
So we actually created... The season two didn't occur because of COVID. Thank you, COVID. But in 2019, we actually did a series. We called it Jacob of All Trades. And we had it. It was headlined and sponsored by FitAid. And so what we did is we took the idea of Dirty Jobs, which is a phenomenal show.
Love
which
it,
I think
yeah.
I think is since stopped.
I don't know. I haven't checked in with Mike Rowe in a while. But
yeah, because I think Mike Rowe was doing like the Happy Show, which was really freaking awesome. And but anyways, so the idea was taking your fitness, like we just talked about, taking your fitness outside the gym and applying it to something that is not CrossFit. And so we did a series. It was a 6-episode series. We had a media company in Kansas City, and we just opened up to the community to give us ideas. And we went and did 6 different things in Kansas City that had nothing to do with CrossFit. Most of them were somewhat fitness related, but sometimes it got hard. So like the first one we did, which was my most favorite, which is probably gonna think I'm weird, is we went to a all woman's high heel dancing class.
I remember this.
It was awesome. So the first thing I had to do was I had to go into like a Payless or some shoe store in Legends and buy high heels because I didn't own a pair, and I wouldn't admit it if I did. I only wear high heels on Wednesday. And so I had to go buy a pair of high heels, which are uncomfortable, and I went and did a dancing class. I think we danced to Beyonce.
Can we bring this back?
Yeah.
Can we bring this back? I mean, seriously.
Oh, so we tried. So the season went over extremely well, but then COVID smacked us in the face, and we had to cancel it because no one's going to go do anything. They're not going to let us go do anything. Because our other idea was like, well, let's take this to St. Jude and do all 6 jobs at St. Jude and then give all the money back to St. Jude. But let's say we did high heel dancing class. Dude, we did some good ones. We did horseback riding, which I had already done a little bit as a kid because I grew up in agriculture area. But the other one we did was we went to an all-woman's roller derby team.
Yes.
And that was, dude, I got laid out.
That's intense.
No, multiple times. like you know, like there are obviously different body types in roller derby, and there are some big girls out there that just throttled me on the floor. Just
we've got a member here that does roller derby.
Sarah's a roller derby enthusiast.
It is really freaking fun. I really enjoyed it. And I thought maybe I was like, oh, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to beat up on these girls. No, it was the opposite. I'm like, can you girls like play it easy on me? Like, please don't hurt me.
I'm a newbie here. Come on.
But that was like the idea was it's cool to go out and do different sports that aren't CrossFit. Like it's, you know, like does CrossFit carry over to high heel dancing? I mean, I could thrust my hips really well. That was about it. But like, right. Other than that, it did not. But it was just cool to try new things.
What I notice is when we do like flag football or basketball or anything like that, is like a gym activity around here. Like my hips hurt so bad for the next 2 days just from moving side to side.
Oh yeah.
This is something you don't do in CrossFit, right?
Exactly.
Did you have any of that with boxing? Cause now it's like all side to side or a lot of side to side movement, right?
Yeah. I think the only thing, and I didn't box yesterday being Wednesday, we're supposed to do every day because Michael's like, you need to stay on your toes more and move around, be more fluid, be more of a dancer. I'm like, oh, Michael, I dance in high heels. But anyways, he was like, you need to stay on your toes more. And so he like put some tape on my toes and had me like make sure I was staying on my toes as much. I have like a blister on a blister on just terrible. Like my feet are destroyed right now. And I was like, Michael, I was like, I can't train tomorrow. Like yesterday, I can't train tomorrow because of my feet, I can't walk. Oh, so I had to go home and drain it like 9 times. It was disgusting. Ugh. But yeah, I mean like, it's a different sport. And so there's still some learning, but I haven't been super sore from it. It's just so much breathing. And in the moment, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Just smack me. I don't even care anymore. Like kind of thing, you know? So, but it's been enjoyable.
It's cool to see you getting after it with Michael Yabbitt. I refer to people on this podcast like by their name, like I expect everyone to know. Michael Yabbitt runs Epic. He was the, I think, former head of like all instructors training for title boxing. And now he is...
And boxed for many years too.
Yeah. He's sharp. He's sharp. He knows his stuff. He's been on the podcast before. So
Go check out the podcast about Epic, what it is.
Yep.
That's an oldie.
Epoch.
Yes.
Yep. And you'll get into the brain of Yabbitt, which is pretty impressive too.
Yes, he's coming out tomorrow night to the barn. I think he's coming out tomorrow night. We're going to film some stuff for YouTube. So he's coming out tomorrow night to the barn. I said, well, come out tomorrow at 4:00. We'll do your thing. We'll do boxing. Your thing. We'll do your sport. your sport for 2 hours. I said, but when we're done, we're going to do my sport. I'm going to put you in a workout. He's like, dude, I haven't done CrossFit in a while. I'm like, well, you're going to get thrown into it now, boy.
Good. He would show up and do some weightlifting for quite a while. He would come to my weightlifting class at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. And he actually, I mean, he joined when we were at our old location.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. He can get after it.
As long as you give him about 5 minutes to set up.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes a minute to set up for his lifts.
Oh, no, we're on the lift. We're going to be like, okay, now we're going to go run in the mud now.
He's got an engine. He'll go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's his jam. So tell us a little bit about like your actual projects in the Kansas City area that might be pertinent to some of our listeners.
Sure. So, I mean, most of the projects I run or the companies that I run are all online-based. So some of them are pertinent to Kansas City and some of them aren't. Real briefly, we run an online programming company called Grit, which is just the programming I do that we give online. We have coaches, and through that company, we're also going to be running camps on my property. So that's Kansas City-based locally, obviously. And then we run a online nutrition company that we actually started in-house in our gym. We actually had a nutrition company in Cobra Command CrossFit, which is an affiliate I go to. I don't own. I just go to it. Both my good friends own it. And they had a nutrition company in the gym. And we kind of decided, got some advice from one of our coaches of like, hey, why don't you team up with Jacob and take it outside of the gym and make it like they were delivering a great product, but they didn't have the reach to take it outside the gym. Mm-hmm. So we kind of teamed up there and created functional eating to deliver a product worldwide there. And that's been a very successful company. And then the other three are mainly app based, one being Ignite, which is a program delivery service for us to help coaches deliver a program to their clients a very similar way. And the other company is essentially a better take on Zoom. That's Stream Fitness. So essentially we're taking Zoom. That was a great solution during the pandemic, right? Because most of us had to use Zoom to a degree to deliver a program. But we thought to ourselves, why don't we just take Zoom and make it for the fitness industry? Not just CrossFit, but the fitness industry, like Tidal Boxing, whatever, yoga, whatever you want. And so myself, Scott Panchik, and two other guys own that company. And essentially we've launched that in an app now also. And then the other one is a social media app that is a more efficient pipeline for delivering content between influencers and companies. Like I feel like going back to communication concept, when you work with, like most people don't really work in this industry, but when you're an influencer or the company working with influencers, there's a communication line that needs to exist. And it's very difficult because if there's money being exchanged hands, obviously, there needs to be value provided on both sides. And people, if they don't get what they want, they're going to be upset. And then that relationship is going to crumble. And so having a efficient pipeline of communication between the two is necessary to create content. And so just making an app to essentially do that is what we're doing. So
got a few irons and a few fires.
Yeah, too many irons and too many fires. And then boxing. So
and then you picked up another sport.
And then I was like, I remember leaving being CrossFit and being like, okay, we're going to do tactical games for fitness. Do still do some CrossFit with Olivia, and then I have these companies that I will have time to run, and the boxing got thrown in my lap, and I couldn't turn it down. And I was like, "Well, we're back into it now, boys." And I think if I had one wish, that would be that day was 30 hours. That'd be what I'd wish for.
Do you think you'll pare it down at some point?
Yeah, I think this boxing thing is not a career. This will be done in September. And when we're done with it, I'm not going to continue.
So it's just one fight. You're not doing a series.
No. Okay. It's just one fight.
Breaking news, everybody.
Breaking news. You heard it here first.
Tactical games going to be kind of the competitive outlet?
Yeah, I think we're going to do tactical games as a competitive outlet. And then for me, one thing I've wanted to do in the CrossFit industry, like I'm not going to ever leave the CrossFit sport, is I wanted to commentate the games. So like Sean Woodland and Tommy and I have been talking quite a bit to be able to be like, hey, like, I've run a YouTube channel for years where I've literally commentated. I film my workouts and then commentate on them. I'm like, if I can commentate on my workouts and people watch it and it's that boring, I can sit in front of a group of people and talk about other people working out that's actually exciting, not myself.
I don't know if it's our proximity to each other, but I do notice that you probably are more active on your social media and your YouTube channel than most other games athletes.
Yeah.
Just with your commentary. I mean, I watched you blow up freaking Grips a couple years ago, right?
You know how many people are irritated with that, though? good story. So we did, YouTube for me, so most people don't know this, but I was homeschooled for a majority of my life, the prototypical nerdy homeschooler. And I remember, growing up, most people, some people aren't, but most people are creative as a child. You know, you have a stick, it's now a gun. You're a princess, you are creative, and you imagine you role play as a child. And then somewhere along the lines, school or friends or people look down on you or make fun of you, you lose that imagination and that creativity. and that happens all of us. We work a desk job, we work in a gym, clinking, banging on a computer or whatever. And so I remember finding YouTube later on in my life, because at one time I thought, well, YouTube is where you go to figure out how to fix a leaky faucet. Like, that's literally all you do. And someone was like, hey, you should do a YouTube channel. Like, you'd be pretty decent at this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. That's where you, again, like where you go figure out how to change your oil on your car. And like, no. You can like do like full videos on there. So I looked into it, decided to give it a try, and realized it was a really cool creative outlet to do things that no one had to tell me I couldn't do. You know, if I wanted to get on there and have a bunch of companies send me grips and blow them up and shoot them and piss them all off, and then do a weight vest one and piss them off again, like, we could do it. Like, it could be fun. And yeah, it's just been a really cool creative outlet to just do whatever I want. But I think you're right. Like, I put out a lot of content, and nothing against the other athletes, but most of them have managers that do it for them. But it's always been me that does it, because I want to show the realness and rawness of life. Like, I'm okay showing, here's me failing a rep. Here's me not doing something right. Here's me, you know, getting deducted points in the CrossFit games because I have a penalty. Like, I don't have a problem. We're all human. Like, I just want to show that, because people connect with you better when they know, you know, if Pat is a superhuman, no one connects with him. They just idolize him. But if Pat can show fault, then they idolize him, which is not a good thing, but they might still idolize him, but they can connect with him on a human perspective, because they're like, oh, well, yeah, I've done the same thing. I've also pooped my pants like Pat did, so like I can connect with them.
Yeah, you had to go there, man.
Sometimes you got to poop.
It happens, all right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously helped refine a skill. You know, I think some of the work that you and I have done together, I've seen it. Like, you're super comfortable in front of a camera, super comfortable improvising.
Didn't always happen like that.
Oh, I'm sure, but it built time, it, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many freaking hours have you stood in front of a camera recording stuff, right?
Just by myself. Exactly. Here I am in a dark room by myself talking to a camera. This is awkward.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. I always like to put somebody on the spot on the podcast, but what are your thoughts on the quarterfinals? And let's get some commentary. Let's get some predictions about CrossFit Games this season coming up. What do you think about the changes?
Yeah. They need to pick something and stick with it. But they're doing a good job. I like the idea of including more people. I think lowering the bar in a bad way, but lowering the bar and letting more people compete at corner final, I think, was a good decision. I mean, just the same as, I actually had no problem. A lot of people didn't like it, but I had no problem with them including the fittest in every country. Now, you know, was the fittest in Lebanon going to win? No. But like, being able to include people from around the world, and they don't always have to be the fittest in the world, is good for a sport. Mm-hmm. It allows them to have flag bearers, like color guards, that go off in the world and do more. Yeah, I think it's good. I think we're going to have to see how the season plays out. I think they're going to have a tough time like last year. No, they still did it, which is wonderful, which was a blessing. But yeah, I think quarterfinals is this weekend, or whenever you post this, it's going to be this weekend, which is first weekend in April.
Yeah.
First weekend in April
through the 12th, something like that.
And they're going to do semifinals, which in my mind is just sanctionals, which you're already seeing some of those go online, which kind of stinks, but we'll see what happens. And then we'll go from there to the games. I'm excited to see how it goes. They're making good strides. I mean, CrossFit is an early sport and it's new, and so they're gonna have to kind of figure out the best way to do it. I thought the best way was regionals.
Yeah.
Personally, but like, I also know that regionals probably was a money sink for them, and so we're gonna have to see. But I mean, heck, I want to be involved in CrossFit. If you're paying $50, how many people are paying $50 for a quarterfinal? That's a freaking chunk of change right there. You pay it too. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Congratulations on qualifying.
Thank you.
Are you gonna put it in your bio on Instagram?
Probably.
Yeah, you should.
And actually,
yeah, you
I'll
should.
Promote every podcast.
Yes.
With, like,
yeah.
Me being the host, I made that quarterfinals that one year. Yeah.
Jacob's retired. He sucks. But I'm a quarterfinals finals
that's
athlete.
Right. That's right.
Are you doing it this weekend? They're announcing it.
Yeah.
In like an hour or
day, right? Yep. Yeah. It's like 2 or 3.
It's noon Pacific, so yeah. 2 p.m. here.
Yeah, I've got a crazy work schedule, so I'm going to have to find a way to just work these.
He's going to do all of them back to back to back.
So that's the one thing I don't like about it. I wish they do it like the age group online qualifiers, where they're like, you have 4 days, here are 6 workouts, do as many times as you want, as many orders as you want, I don't care. I wish they would do that. I don't know why they're doing this whole like, you have, you know, 1 day to get these 2 done, 1 day, because I mean, you're right, like, if you have a work, if you're hypothetically public servant and you are a firefighter and you have 3 days, you know, 1 day off, 2 days off, whatever the case may be, you can't do it.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
But so they'll
learn.
Yeah. I get the idea. They're including more people, but they're forgetting about that most of these people have jobs.
Right.
The rest of us losers who don't have jobs and lives in our parents' basement like me, like, don't have to worry about that. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Cool. Yeah, man. So let's wrap this up. Last thing, I want you to promote anything that you feel like promoting. We talked all about your companies. Where can people find you? You know, if they want to reach out to you, DM you, anything weird or creepy. Yeah. how do they find you?
A pair of underwear usually is $50 a pair, usually.
I'm in.
yeah, you can just Google me. I don't usually promote too much. You Google me and I'll pop up on YouTube and you'll see the companies I own, whether on my Instagram or on YouTube and the companies I work with. So.
Awesome, yeah. Man. Well, hey, we really appreciate you taking the time and best of luck in the fight and all your fitness competitions, wherever they may be. So appreciate you taking the time and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.